I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Welcome into Tech Talk. You've got us on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Thank you for joining us and making us a part of your Wednesday afternoon. We are live here in the First United Bank studio. You can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline. That number is 806-771-0973. You can also hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions, all of that. Welcome there. Don't forget, you can take us anywhere with the mobile app. That's brought to you by our friends at Happy State Bank. We're also streaming live on Fox 34 News Now and on YouTube. And as always, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter if you like, putting up all sorts of fun stuff there. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman behind the glass taking care of us. Gus, how's your Wednesday?
It is, it's just very Wednesday-ish, just sort of uneventful, grinding through, just plowing through, right?
Mm-hmm. You're getting ready to take a little trip.
Yep.
Take a little trip up to Lawrence.
Go with the boys to Lawrence.
You all set, or do you have like a checklist you have to
get down? Well, I do need to get some clothes and junk together, but I, yeah.
Would you say you're kind of packing. You seem like you would fit into this department, but I'll go ahead and ask the question. Would you say you're a prepared traveler?
Mm-hmm.
Like to the... we ran into a situation, we need a grappling hook. Well, someone call Gus.
No, not to that extent, but I mean. The older I get, I'm probably more, sort of persnickety about just having just all the stuff. I forgot my little pill bottle with Tums. You know what I mean? Like that would be
travel Tums.
Yeah, absolutely it is. Yeah, I get an old prescription bottle that's just like, pocket sized. Put some of that in there and a couple of ibuprofen or whatever, maybe even a Benadryl or something, and then I've got it, in the booth.
Mm-hmm.
Something happens. Mm-hmm. I'm in the booth. I don't have to, bail out or be miserable or whatever. It's just my little, But it would be something like that would bother me.
Yeah, sure.
If I forgot an entire suitcase or my laptop or whatever, that would bother me as well. But that's the kind of stuff that I kind of – not really fret over, but that's the stuff I'll stand there and look at for 15 minutes, and my wife will tell me I'm crazy.
I used to be the king of any – it didn't matter. I could be going – when I was in college, going back to visit my parents,
mm-hmm.
I was the king of forgetting exactly one thing that I needed on that trip. One time it was a belt, and one time – one time it was a toothbrush. I've never forgotten the jacket, which I feel like could be the easiest one to forget because, the one things, quote unquote, that you need, keys, wallet, phone, if you put that in that category. I've never forgotten any of those, but it'd be stuff like that. And then that is so annoying. The the belt one, I ended up using a little thing, a little cord at one point on that trip. And I looked like an idiot. But you know what? You know what happened? My pants didn't fall down, and that was the goal.
That's right.
That was the goal.
What'd you do, a belt clip?
No, I did.
How'd you say?
I forgot my belt.
Right.
And it was actually at the it was at the Grapevine Mall where we got a belt, but on the way, needed something to hold them up. All of my family is much smaller than me, so even if I could borrow a belt from them, that would not work. And so I didn't realize it till I was there. And it was like, I wore shorts on the way there, but then all I had was pants that needed a belt because I used to be a real big jeans wearer all the time. So I'm going to the mall with little, this little rope that
right.
gotten no, it just I was gonna tighter. Say. And it's like, if, you know, at the hotel we're staying at, doesn't exactly like, you know, complimentary toothpaste, complimentary soap. Hey, you got a complimentary belt back
Anybody
there?
Anybody got some twine?
You got a lost and found, just a box back there of things that are long exactly. that I can tie. Something to hold pants up. That's what
you
I'm in.
You don't have a size 30 thick.
Oh, yeah.
Actually,
size 38.
Nice. The
is that nice that I
that would
up
be
a size?
That would be the that would be the that would be the sort of thing that would bother me. You know.
You can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. We got this on the chat line, which we will get into this. Lots of interesting stuff to talk about today. Fun fact. As the Reggie Bush news broke this morning, we almost got to witness Chuck have a stroke live on the airwaves. It was sort of like when my granddad used to flip out when I would ride the clutch too much on his old 4020. Has anybody checked on Chuck?
Oh, yeah, that's...
I've seen him, so...
Yeah?
He's still with us.
I didn't hear it, but I've sort of got in there after... Got on the show after that happened, and I was actually before and after. Yeah, I was wondering if that's like when you're sitting around with, you know, grandpa watching Fox News or something, you know, that kind of deal where you sit there and yell at the TV. I didn't know if it was that, but that's all I can even, that's all I could even guess at.
This is, that news has been a long time coming. Of whether you were, and I feel like it's probably pretty split of should he have it back or, you know, should he not, whatever, rules are rules. But I don't know, maybe this has been built up and I didn't know this, but to me, this kind of came out of left field today. I also haven't been like trying to track down this story. So it very well could be like someone could have put 3 weeks ago, hey, there's going to be a decision on this whole Reggie Bush thing
and that,
on April 24th. So keep your eyes open, people.
It's kind of like screaming and yelling about NIL and rule changes and stuff. It's like I'm going to try not to let a whole lot of mental angst go into this. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah. Oh, my God, now they're saying – it's legal to okay, whatever. And so this goes hand in hand with it and with that sort of stuff. You know, the only thing I was thinking about is if your boy Manziel, you know, because he threw that out there, I guess, in the documentary, then watch mm-hmm. it. Probably won't. And he, you know, that something about he wasn't going to participate or whatever.
I'm not going to be in any Nissan commercials ever again.
Surely to God they didn't do all of that because old Johnny Manziel made a good point. I'm guessing that was in the works or somebody had kicked it around before. And here's the key. There's no denying what he did on the field.
Oh,
he was a great player, you know, period. When you start thinking about order and rules and, you know, and that sort of stuff, it gets a little bit difficult. And I think it's a little bit different than the PED stuff in baseball. I think we're talking about two different things here.
Bookmark that. We'll dive into it a little bit more. But up next, we got to get you some headlines. It's the Juice on Double T97.3.
It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It's Tech Talk here on Double T97.3 and Double T97.3.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman behind the glass. Tonight, we will have the High School Fan Zone starting at 6 o'clock on 100.7 The Score. Tonight, you'll hear coaches from Friendship at 6, Lubbock Cooper at 6:20, and Liberty at 6:40, hour-long program. After that, it's Houston Astros baseball as they continue their series against the Cubs. They are now 7-17 after being beat up yesterday, 7-2. Another rough go of it. They have won exactly one game in their last seven tries. They're still trying to right the ship with Houston. I wouldn't say it's going much better for the Rangers of late. They are right at 500, 12-12 record after being shut out by the Mariners yesterday 4-0. Of course, that's what we're leading you up to today. We'll go all the way to 6:30 here on Double T97.3, and that's when you can hear Game 2 against the Ole Mariners for the Rangers. Speaking of disappointing baseball guys, it's bad on bad on bad as we run through here. We saved the worst for last in the baseball headlines. New Mexico beat Texas Tech University 17-3 yesterday. It was a shellacking. You had a glimmer of hope after back-to-back home runs there in the third, which still was 7-3. But for me, Gus, I was like, okay, here you go, because this series has had a ton of runs.
7-3, bases loaded, two out. And Vassell at the plate, he flew out. Well, next inning, had a guy thrown out at the plate, and then it just crumbled from there. But, yeah.
Yes, the back-to-back home run setting up into that situation was when I was like, okay, there you go, especially on here the second one.
Yep.
You're going to loosen them up. And in a series that has really featured a ton of offense over the years, well, New Mexico had it, but unfortunately you did not. You used 10 arms along the way, had some really bad errors as well behind it.
The two big ones in the fourth inning.
Yeah. So you will try to immediately forget this one.
Absolutely.
As you turn the page to the Kansas Jayhawks, a road series this weekend, game one on Friday night here on Double T97.3 at 5:30. Head coach Joey McGuire continuing on with something that he's brought back that I think is really cool. It is the 2023 Team Awards. Now, they were planning on announcing these during the spring game. Of course, you know, plans went to fooey with everything that went on with the weather. But your 2023 Texas Tech Team Awards from last year, the Donnie Anderson Sportsmanship Award was Dadrian Taylor-Dimerson. The JT King Award for Most Improved Offensive Player was Xavier White. Defensive Player, Ben Roberts. Dare to Be Great Award was Caleb Rogers. Clint Ramsey Academic Effort Award was given to Jake Strong and Reese Burkhart. The EJ Holub Double Tough Award was Baron Morton. Del Morgan Memorial Courage Award was Bryce Ramirez. And the Pete Coffin Memorial Team MVP, bet you can't guess, Taj Brooks.
Good one.
Yeah, so there you go. Congratulations to all of them. Of course, that was dropped in the Tuberville era. Was that when that stopped? Because that was something that had went on for a while.
Yeah, that was a good conversation. I know Don Williams wrote a column in the Avalanche Journal about that. Heck, I won one of those. I won one of the baseball awards back in 1989. So, but
what was your award?
I'm just about to look that up. Give me a minute. Keep going. Got to bound to me more. Tell you what, you set up the prints.
The coolest guy in the room.
Speaking of coolest guys in the room, I think we're done with the headlines. You can.
We do have one more.
Okay.
One more. You STFCCCA rankings came out again today. And your news, to be fair, is no news. The men stayed put at number 5. The women stayed put at number 9. And Tech
in
is the
country.
In the country. Yeah. Tech is the only Big 12 member with its men and women track and field programs inside the top 10 as they continue on with the outdoor Big 12 outdoor championships in 2 weeks. So more good stuff from track and field. That's right. You know, tomorrow is going to be a little bit weird, and we do a song request Thursday. We'll have Rangers baseball tomorrow afternoon. We'll have some sort of show, but who knows with a 1:31st pitch how long we will have here in the First United Bank studio. And so when we get there, have no fear. We'll let you do another basically open request Thursday for whatever you want to do with that. But on this day, now this was over the weekend, so we really wanted to time it up, and you had actually sent yourself an email.
For last Thursday, but I think wasn't it one of the early baseball games?
Oh, that's
right. It was one of the early Ranger. We had a short show.
Yeah.
Chopped up, whatever.
So you really wanted to do a Prince Day, and I'm in full support of it.
Yeah, and we were leading into it. I think the anniversary of Prince's death was this past weekend, and so we were going to lead into that with a music theme day, and then thought, okay, well, we can do it after the fact, and so that's what we're doing, pretending it's Thursday. Yeah. And having a themed music day, and that is going to be about Mr.
Yeah, so Prince. Give us your favorite Prince songs. Hey, well, the great thing is sometimes you do an artist, and he's like, well, how many requests can you get out of that? He's got deep, deep tracks.
Oh, there's no doubt. In fact, anything off of Purple Rain would probably be right in my bullseye, but I'll go with a different one because I'm sure there will be plenty of Purple Rain-type requests, so I'll get mine to Poorman here.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line.
Real quick, $10, Gus. That song of yours is Raspberry Beret.
No, because I think that's... No, that might have been right after Purple. And that's another fantastic... Probably one of my two favorites. But I think somebody... Surely somebody's going to play that or request it. I'm going to go with the song called Controversy. Mm. It was like 1981. So when he was still more of a... I want to say hip-hop. It wasn't hip-hop back
then. R&B.
It was kind of R&B back then.
His first album was legit R&B. If you listen to a song called I Want to Be Your Lover, it has disco era and pre-80s written all over it.
That dude, icon.
My personal favorite halftime show, still, of all time. Yeah. Now, you had the weather elements that teamed up with it, and you can't really plan that because that Super Bowl was in Miami, and you actually have the rain going down, and you had like the sheets that were flying up and the shadow effect. That was awesome. This from Raiders Dad on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Somewhere in the LBK, there is a Jamie Lint with a single tear rolling down his face. Oh. I'm having a couple pickles, and a little pickle juice is a nice, refreshing snack. Yeah, have at it, man.
Mm-hmm.
Have at it. Shelly asked, what prescription bottle isn't pocket-sized? Are there, like, gallon sizes, too?
I think somebody answered that. That gallon jug of stuff you get when you're going colonoscopy.
Ooh.
So that definitely, and I think I respond, I probably wouldn't be carrying that one around my pocket like a 2-quart jug. But yes, most prescription bottles are just a little pocket sized jobbers.
Speaking of prescription, on the non-prescription side, I'm asking this because I used to laugh at them every single time, and I assume they're still residing in a gas station near you. Do they still have those random assortments of energy pills where every single pill is different? You don't really know what it is. And like one would be yellow and one would be white and they'd all be different shapes. I never bought them. But I was like, who is, someone is buying them because I noticed them for years. Like someone is like, oh.
They were hanging around on the... They kept getting refilled every time somebody bought them.
Yeah, I'll take some shady energy.
Just a random, well, there was like in random a, sugar and caffeine. Is that what it is?
Yeah, either that or it's a placebo effect. It's just like it was literally like a baseball card of cardboard, and then it was like a stapled baggie that you could just see, and then have them at like the front of like stripes and stuff, and everywhere. By the way, like I noticed them at a ton of different gas stations. Don't send those to us. Gus will take all of them. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Like happy fake Prince Day since we kind of missed out on it. That's what I want to call it. It is Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. He's going to have so many hooks that I don't want to talk through. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman. It is Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. Thank you for joining us and making us a part of your Wednesday. I hope it is going well. Gus, I had a little game not go your way yesterday. We have this question on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Gus, after the weekend, Tech Baseball threw down a baseball throwdown for a 3-game winner. We go and lay a complete egg yesterday against UNM. What happened? Should we jump or step back from the ledge? So they're there, and then they say, help. Advice.
I wouldn't jump off the ledge just yet. I wouldn't get near the ledge just yet.
Mm-hmm.
What I was thinking about, because it's an ugly loss, and it happens all the time, and fortunately it hadn't happened to very many Tim Tadlock teams. Like, we haven't lost many Tuesday games at home in his tenure. But yeah, you know, every couple of years, one of those happens, and you know what? A couple things about it. I didn't lose much sleep over it because it was such a beating. You didn't go, oh man, if only we'd have tried to steal there, if only we'd have caught that one fly ball. Like, no, you got your A kicked.
It's one of those that was so bad, it's almost hard to break down.
Right.
Because you just say, dude, you got whooped.
Sure.
You got whooped.
I mean, in every phase, because there was two critical errors made in the fourth inning. Not just a bobble in the outfield that cost you an extra 90 feet, but like two outs that should have been made that weren't. And it's a four-run inning, and then all of a sudden it's a 7-1 game because your pitching had to get five outs in the fourth. And so there's that one. So there's your defensive lapse. Offensively, there's 10 hits, and you get another, what, you draw another five walks, so 15 base runners and three runs. Mm-hmm. And I think John and I had the graphic yesterday late. It wasn't the end, the final number, but I think at that point we were 3-for-9 with, I think it was just runners on base. I'm sorry, 3-for-19. Big difference. Mm-hmm. So the offense failed, and then you look at the 17 runs and go, yeah, and there's that. And so hard to look down that list of pitchers and go, well, he threw well, or what? I like Parker Utero wasn't bad. Gave up his first collegiate home run almost 30 innings into his career, so I'm fine with Parker Utero. He'll be okay.
Chandler Coe was lights out.
Yeah, he came in and got his one guy, struck that dude out. But I mean, just, you know, look at the. I mean, Bridges was okay. Got you out of one deal. Isaiah Rhodes gets treated a little unfairly. Of course, he gives up a couple runs and they're both unearned, but he came in to face Jake Holland, who came in yesterday with a 1300 OPS, just bonkers numbers. Mm-hmm. You know, a good one's 1,000 Josh Young territory, 1100. Now he's hitting in one of the most offensive places ever. But so Isaiah Rhodes comes in the middle of all that mess, and after Cash's error and maybe a strikeout or something, and gets a pop-up, gets Holland to pop up. You're like, all right, you got a chance to get out number two. This is big. He was brought in to right on right this guy, get the pop-up. Pompey's camp. Green calls him off and then drops the throw, you know, and then it's a mess. Mm-hmm. Well, then Rhodes can't get out of that deal, and, you know, then Bridges has to come in and get an out. But by then they've batted around. You've given up a four. So I'm just saying, like, you know, it's hard to look at much. At the end of Hudson Parker's outing, who would have known that he was going to be probably have the best line of anyone that pitched?
Because yeah.
He went two innings and gave up a couple of hits and three walks. And so that's five base runners in two innings, but he didn't give up a run. And then, you know, so the whole thing was such a mess that it's for me, it's easier to flush that. And probably for those dudes, they can all be embarrassed by it. Mm-hmm. And there probably was that, and Tim might have barked at him after the game. I don't know, but or certainly it could be a talking point today. Like, hey fellas, see what happens. You know, see what happens if you come out flat, or however mm-hmm. he would want to treat that. But I mean, almost to a man, it's not like, boy, the old Joe Blow had a great day. If only everybody else had done their job, like maybe mm-hmm. Drew Woodcox, kind of, you know. But
sure.
Well, who knows?
I think we talked about
got a whole
this.
Roster of dudes that work good is what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, I mean top to bottom. I mean you're coming off, to me, you know, a weekend, and we talked about this on Monday, where you saw what it could look like from closer to the ceiling side, where you did pretty much everything well against West Virginia, against a mm-hmm. really good team,
didn't make
and
an
took
error.
Care of business, and then you saw what it could look like on the opposite side. And you know, we've known, especially some of the early season struggles with defensive issues, and I think, you know, you saw some good things on a road trip where you didn't win as many games as you would have liked to in that six game set, surely, but you saw, I thought, some positives. And then you go to the West Virginia weekend, and it's like a light switch is lit, and you're taking it to maybe the best team in the Big 12, or one of the best teams in the Big 12, ranked team, good RPI team, all of that. And then, I don't know, it just felt like you you took a breath or anything. I don't think you overlooked New Mexico or you were staring down the Jayhawks or anything like that on the other side. But it's just like you took a breath and then everything went south. And then it was something else, whereas the game is one thing went south, and it snowballed, and another thing went wrong, and another thing went wrong, and another thing went wrong.
In all phases. Yeah, and that again, that if you'd have told me, hey, you're going to lose this game, and you laid out some scenarios, I might take this one, because the beauty of this one is every dude gets to check themselves, as opposed to a bunch of guys sitting back there on the plane. Well, we scored 14 runs, but the pitching gave up 15, or you know, the pitching's over there going, we gave up 3 runs and they only scored 2. You know, like now the whole operation was pretty bad. And so, the key thing there is clear the mechanism. At this point in the season, it's clear the mechanism. Mm-hmm. I doubt that Tim went in there and threw did the fake Chris Beard, put your hand in a cast and tell everyone you punched the chalkboard deal. But I doubt he did that. But, did he go in there and bark at them? Did they need to be barked at?
Bark in the park, game 2!
You know what you hope? Right now in the locker room. Hope? Some seniors went in there and either did that after the game or today and went, hey, we suck today, fellas. Let's go. You know, who knows?
Yeah, and you hope even the younger guys sat there and look at the weekend you just had and realize, okay, yeah, that was bad. You can't let that happen. And have some self-reflection in there.
Some tremendous opportunities for that over the last couple of weeks in terms of how close they were. 4 games, 4 losses, 5 runs total, and then this after a sweep, and like some tremendous opportunities for growth there. You know, see where they go from here.
It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
One of the few things that's been good associated to the color purple, so good for him. Hey, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT97.3.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Ben Poorman. Give us the Prince song that you would like to listen to in the H Pouring Center chat line. Gus, we have learned something.
Okay.
As of yesterday. Of course, we had a very just a little itty bitty show yesterday. A snippet.
7 minutes long.
Yeah. Really punched in the time card yesterday. Mm-hmm. And something we didn't get to dive into. Although it still is very surface level, but we know who Texas Tech will face in basketball next year in the Big 12 Big East battle. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Like that.
You're going to host DePaul. How do you feel about that?
I'm all right with it. I'm anxious to beat them one time.
That's fair.
When I was a kid, that DePaul was loaded. In the late 70s, early 80s, I have to go back and look, but Mark Aguirre, I can't think of his name, Cummings. Golly, he played in the NBA for 10 years. And Aguirre, who was a Dallas Maverick. Mm-hmm. And funny thing, Cummings was on a flight with me about, 4 or 5 years ago. 6'8", 60-year-old guy.
Did you approach him?
No.
Did you tell him that you were the 1989 recipient of the Courage Award?
Burl Huffman Courage Award. Huffman figured Courage that out. Award? Yep.
And it's all because of that pitcher you charged after he threw it.
You're just creating that's your a courageous own level fella of fiction.
Right there. Yeah. We'll find that video someday, Gus, of you putting him in a headlock and just wham, wham, throw at me. Throw punches. That's what's going to happen.
You are totally creating your own level of fiction, but I like it. You're painting me in a better light than the reality.
You start walking at the man. I'll meet you in the Superdome, brother. You know, anger, fire coming out of your mouth, steam from the ears.
Terry Cummings.
There you go.
Terry Cummings. But yeah, the Red Raiders, and this one caught me off guard because when this was announced, you and I were talking in our brief off the air yesterday, and I quickly Googled it because you thought it was more recent. I had no recollection of it, but
I knew
COVID
you
year,
had played DePaul in this series, and I knew you lost it at DePaul, but in my mind, it was a lot fresher than what it was.
Right.
I'll be honest,
this is post-national championship, or Final Four run. This is December of 19. No. So it was after the loss in the championship game. It's the following fall, and this is leading into the COVID year, or it is the COVID year. But, lost 65-60.
In overtime.
Yeah, and I just some things stick and some things don't. Now, here's the kicker. That team this year, Duke went 3-20. I'm sorry, DePaul went 3-29 this year. So I'm painting this rosy picture about and this was the source of your angst. They went 0-20 in conference play, and so
I'll be honest, I was pretty angry yesterday when I saw it. I've gotten over the anger side of it.
Of all the good teams you could have,
wah, wah.
Of all the good teams you could have drawn.
Yes.
This was not one of them, but I'm really anxious that we go beat them first. But, you know, their second leading scorer was Elijah Fisher that was here 2 years ago.
Who's
gone. He's in the portal. He averaged 10 points a game.
Him.
And,
yeah.
You know, but, maybe he's a nice piece and probably will get a shot to go play somewhere. But, I'm the other side of that is like, hey, dude, you were on a 3-29 team.
Yeah, it's hard to be like, oh, it was the highest scorer on a 3-29 team.
He got the most minutes there.
It's like, oh, I was the tallest person in a room full of babies. Oh, I hope so. Babies aren't very tall. I'm not trying to disparage the logo or anything like that.
Let's beat him before you full on.
I'm not angry. I'm just flat about it.
I know.
And with this seemingly going away,
wanting St. John's or somebody.
Well, and part of this is you have to go with, okay, you were on the road last year, so you have to be at home. Who vice versa, who's flipping that? And by the way, I'll run through all the matchups real quick. Baylor's at UConn. Kansas is at Creighton. Butler at Houston. Marquette at Iowa State. Kansas State at St. John's. Xavier at TCU. That would have been the one that I wanted, I think, of the home games. Cincinnati at Villanova. BYU at Providence. Oklahoma State at Seton Hall, Georgetown at West Virginia, and then DePaul here in Lubbock. You know who's missing from that list?
The legacy. I mean, who is missing from it? And there may be more to your question than you're asking me. But when we talked about it yesterday, there's none of next year's new Big 12, whatever 5.0 teams. No Utah, Arizona schools, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Yeah, it does, especially as we play out the string on this thing.
Mm-hmm. It is funny. My brain was looking, and for a split second, it was like, oh, there's no Oklahoma there either. Oh, wait. Yeah, they're not going to be here, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's not anything like a hill to die on or anything. It's just this was when I was always upset about, too, with who you drew in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. It felt like you always got the blah opponents, faces you've seen before at LSU twice. Speaking of bad teams, like the LSU team you drew after the Will Wade situation went under and LSU went into a pit for basketball. And I get the, hey, let's just go beat them. It's just like it was an opportunity, I guess, for a more exciting opponent. And at least when Georgetown was here a couple years, I felt like the logo still carried a little bit more weight, and there was a certain
Ewing
someone on the sideline there for him, Patrick
cool.
Ewing.
Yeah.
There's not really a Patrick Ewing coming to town from DePaul. So, I mean, I'd hope you just beat anybody that showed up, but like I said, I was legitimately angry yesterday. You had to deal with that. Today, it's more just
I actually left.
When I was throwing my tantrum. And another thing, Gus! Get back here and listen to me whine!
Exactly, I was out.
It is Tech Talk here on Double T97.3 and DoubleT97.3.com. Back with more next.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It is Tech Talk here on Double T97.3 and DoubleT97.3.com. Texas Rangers baseball. They'll see the Mariners in Game 2 after being blanked 4-0 yesterday. Hey, we're live from the First United Bank studio. You can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline, 806-771-0973. You can also hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions, all that welcome there. Take us anywhere with the mobile app brought to you by Happy State Bank. We're also streaming live on Fox 34 News Now and on YouTube. And if you want, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Excuse me. And the little throat scratchies right there. That's almost fun.
Okay.
All right. We're past it. We're good. Spring game. Well, I'm still just going to call it spring game.
Spring football game.
Spring football game was this weekend. Again, we're not going into like breaking down the game or anything like that. But we got some thoughts and comments from head coach Joey McGuire. And I wanted to get to more that he shared. And so now seems like a perfect time. And so we'll go with a more general answer to a question that he was asked spanning from his team's spring practices. And he talked about young players that stood out this spring.
We saw him in the bowl game. I would say Amir Washington. He's like a bull in a china closet. Should have been a huge play by the white team on one of the run plays because we didn't set the edge. And Amir, chased, I think it was a two-yard game because he caught the running back from behind throwing his body. So I'm really excited about him. I thought he's a redshirt freshman, going to be a redshirt sophomore, so not really young. But I think Jalen Peoples has had a really good spring. He's starting to really grow. Some of the guys that played, but then the guys that I'm really excited about, like that have come on, is like Jaden Cofield. Man, he had a great spring game, and he's really come on. Braylon Rigsby in that defensive line room have really come on. And then Sheridan Wilson has had a really good spring. It's just the great thing about him is, he's doing a great job at center, and we've got a group of like four or five guys that can play guard and center. So excited about that, those guys.
It will be interesting on the defensive line spot as he threw out a couple names there. Obviously, you're replacing a couple of guys there that may go, as far as when we look back at their time here, a couple super seniors that played last year that I think their time might be underrated because they gave you just solid play and something you didn't have to worry about. I would never say the interior defensive lineman, interior defensive line was like this major all-star type plus, but it was a plus, and it felt like it always was a plus. So now as you turn to younger guys there, who's going to step up and be that next guy for that? Because you had a couple guys you could lean on there.
Well, and those guys 2 years ago played so many snaps, and Coach McGuire had talked about that, like they're going to be better players when they don't have to play a million snaps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they were able to reduce some of that. Plus, it's just the creating depth. And we think back to the early 90s, those early mid-90s really good Cowboy teams of Casillas and Russell Maryland and Hennings and those guys. If they ever did have somebody miss a couple games, it's like, okay, we went from five DTs down to four. They're fresher when they're on the field. It's the kind of depth that we haven't had around here in a while. And so I'm excited to hear a bunch of names listed off there. And they went out and used the portal not for, hey, we got to bring in some, guys that can start at defensive tackle for us. This wasn't desperation portal additions. It was like, let's go get the kid from Rice who's got a year left that can be a rotation guy that can add some depth. And so that we don't have our best – we can get our best guys on the field – in key moments rather than having them out there for like, blowing and going until the early fourth quarter and then they're gassed 60, 70 plays into their day. So I'm excited about that. And Amir Washington is probably emblematic of that as anybody. And he talked about it, but a guy who went off in the bowl game and he was just sort of getting his four games in. He was playing because what's his name left to the NFL? Like, didn't play. Miles Price, good grief. Single digit defensive tackle. You and I talked about it. We liked our single digit guys, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Broderick Washington there, guys?
No. That was 7 years ago. No, I'm talking about this past. Y'all go. Keep
you
going.
Just,
keep talking about the
You
exciting.
Just erased his name.
Keep talking
this,
about the young
this,
guys.
This is what angers me in my brain. Is it just I have these times on something that I have known so well, and it could just be words. This time it's a player, sometimes it's a song title, where you will like lead me into it, and even though I've known it, will just completely erase from my memory.
Miles Cole.
And
so Miles Cole opted out of the game, and Amir Washington got snaps as a result of that. Yeah. Made some plays.
Anyways, I'm very frustrated right now. Speaking of which, you have the NFL draft starting tomorrow.
Yep.
The Cowboys are not very happy with their. I should say the Cowboy fans are not very happy with Jerry Jones right now. One, the all in, and then not being all in the offseason, and then just committing to Dak. That was anger number two, and basically saying, "Hey, we're going with Dak regardless." Don't know if we're going to have any help for him, but we'll see what happens there. I don't think we have enough time to get into his comments on Cameron Dickey, but I wanted to do that as well. We'll do that.
I do want to hear those because that's that's such a key part of what happened this spring, because we're talking about a January kid. Could have got here in January, and it's like, hey, there's the guy that they're so high on that may have moved people out past older guys on the depth chart, and he just got here. He's still trying to, you know, work his way through freshman English or whatever, and it's looking like he's already putting a dent in the depth chart.
Miles Cole on the chat line helping us out.
There it is.
It's just going to haunt me, that name now.
Yeah.
There we go.
That's why I keep this notebook handy.
Maybe that's what I should start doing. It would help me. The all-knowing binder.
Podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It's Tech Talk, Texas Ranger Baseball on Double T 97.3. Sorry, I didn't mean to excite you, or if you're still trying to recuperate from yesterday, frighten you, relive it. All right, they're going to bounce back this weekend when they head to Lawrence. But we will have Texas Rangers baseball after we're done. I don't watch much Angels baseball, Gus, but with them and the Orioles, how long ago was it when they started doing the fire fountain for home runs?
That I don't know.
Because that was intense. That was like a dangerous amount of fire. That was like take the fire we do when we're introducing players in the USA for basketball games, and then like quadruple the height on that torch.
Okay.
Wow.
That's outdoors. That probably helps.
Yeah, it's true. Probably warning signs to don't jump the fence and stay away from the fire over here.
Yeah.
Let's keep going with some Coach McGuire thoughts and comments. Someone else he had talked about, someone asked him, we already went over the young players that had stood out to him. Another young player he talked about was one Cameron Dickey.
Yeah, he's 219, so I think he does a really good job in pass pro. He's very physical. I think he's got really good hands out of the backfield. That's something that's really impressive, the way he catches the ball out of the backfield. Like you said, it's perfect. Description, short area burst, he's freaking got really good vision. And then the other thing that he brings too, he played quarterback in high school. He's got a really good arm, so you never know what's coming with that if he's in there. He reminds me, they're different to a little bit. He reminds me a lot of Taj. Man, he's just kind of really just comes to work. He doesn't talk a lot. He just puts his head down and tries to get better. I think that's a really good combination whenever you're starting talking about Taj. You're talking about Cam Valdez. I thought Cam ran well today, and he had a huge, huge on a big play on the offense. He had a huge blitz pickup. I mean, stoned I don't know exactly who was coming, but it was great contact. We got the ball off. And then Cam Dickey, and then we're going to add Jacoby Williams, who's got one of the fastest 110 hurdle times in the country right now. He ran a 13.8 the other day, and haven't got to see what he's run yet to see if he can get to regionals, but I know it's going to be fast. And so we add him. So, you know, we feel really good about those guys.
So you started to get into to him the other day, you know, whenever you first see Donnell and Willis going into the portal at the running back spot, and something you'd noted and, you know, had mentioned, well, part of it is, hey, there's a young guy over there that they're pretty excited about right now, and by all accounts, they are planning on tearing it up and being a future really standout player. This is who you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I believe, the second time when he's talked about him. He's mentioned the name Taj Brooks, who has skyrocketed over the past 2 years as far as, well, one, your actual numbers statistically of being an all-time Red Raider running back, but also I think on the fan side and someone that is going to, after this year is done and he leaves for hopefully an NFL career for Taj, that name's going to carry some weight around here for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. And that is someone who we haven't seen on the field yet. That's the comparison he's drawing from his head coach.
Yep. And I hope for his sake, I mean, just it just makes it such a better story if he goes out there and has a really good day. I mean, a really good year. And we can talk about how good he was junior year into senior year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that he continues to be the dude that he's been into his, you know, into what we hope is a successful year.
Speaking of, you know, Willis and Donnell in the portal, that's something else Coach McGuire had talked about. He mentioned the good and the bad of the portal.
I always look at the portal like, you know, I think there's some really bad things that go on of guys getting in the portal. It's amazing how many people will not find homes that are in there right now or still in there, you know, that are in there from December. But then there's some good things too. Like the one thing that I say is anytime a coach, you know, that recruited you or a head coach gets fired, then, you know, that should open up to where you can move. But then whenever you start looking at like, hey, I always ask them, like, you know, do you want to play football? Yes. Then, like, looking at the depth charts, like, okay, I want to play football. It's not that I want to stay at home whenever we go to Washington State or whenever we go to Arizona. I want to play football. So I think that's good. I mean, I think so, that's what the portal's intended for.
I was curious on what his – because I mean, I think everyone would say, whether you're a coach, a player, a fan – whatever the case may be in that grouping, that there is certainly good and you've benefited from it, and then there is certainly bad. But what the difference is depending on who you are, what the bad is. And I was curious, you know, what his would be and his from the angle of all. And I think a lot of this, too, is like you get smaller school guys. And, again, it's their choice to go into the portal.
Sure.
No one is forcing – well – you might have the conversation of the firing underbelly, but still, ultimately, it's your decision to go in the portal, right? And for a lot of these guys that are going in the portal to upgrade, certainly no one pushed them into it, right? And there's nothing that says you have to be picked up. And that's an interesting con to it that doesn't really get talked about a lot. That doesn't change anything. It's not like you're... By the way, with the NCAA ratifying their rule where, again, now anyone can transfer anywhere, they basically have just stuck with it. You have to meet a certain GPA requirement. I'm not positive or negative on it. That's just the way it is now and has been confirmed. But from those guys looking to upgrade that the team did want to keep that are entering and, you know, eventually maybe have to downgrade and find themselves in a worse spot, again, no one is, in that case, is pushing them or forcing them into the portal. And that's an interesting knock on it.
No, that's it. That's exactly it. And everybody thinks that, I mean, we all talk about the top 5%. dudes that are in the portal grabbing NIL money and all that. The vast majority of these are on the bottom side of it, and it's people that get in there just looking for a better situation, and they don't always find somewhere to land, mm-hmm. especially if they get too far over their skis.
Well, yeah, I wonder if some of that is the, you know, and I like the betting on myself guy. I consider mm-hmm. myself to be a betting on myself type of guy, but sometimes you also have to take into account the person that you're betting on, mm-hmm. you know, and the situation. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at Double T 97.3.com.